So we actually, we're unconscious. And when we're unconscious, we've checked out. And when we've checked out, the subconscious has taken over. And the subconscious mind is just the storehouse of all your habits.
Like, speak from your heart, and whatever happens, happens. But like, this is who I am.
Yeah. I was like, I was just hungry for growth, you know what I mean, and change. And that healthy egoic identity for me is someone who takes. I enjoyed that. Just talking.
How's yours going?
Podcasting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not at the minute, actually.
Pause there.
Yeah, focus has just been elsewhere. You know, I got a nice little station. Got some great conversations. I've got some really good conversations lined up. It just hasn't been like a massive priority of mine, especially like, probably since the summer last year.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a big end to the year last year. I run like a mentorship program.
Yeah, yeah.
In Liverpool, and that was like a big 3 month journey, and then there was another big 3 month mentorship program at the start of the year.
Mm.
And then I've been to Peru, and you know, just come back from another retreat in Skipton. So the sort of time and energy hasn't been there, you know. But it's something that I'm going to pick back up for sure.
Yeah.
You know.
It's powerful, isn't it?
Ah, just like conversations, you know, we're telling stories, and I've been inspired by podcasts for many years. I remember I remember actually starting to listen to podcasts probably like 2014, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like really early on, I remember London Real was like my...
Ah, yeah,
my
yeah,
go-to,
yeah.
And like years ago, you know, Brian Rose, he was a bit like this, you know what I mean? He's with his mate, and they were talking about plant medicine.
Oh, wow.
And it just like really captured my attention. And then I also used to listen to a podcast called Buddha at the Gas Pump.
I haven't heard it.
Guy called Rick Archer.
Okay.
From America.
Yeah.
I think he's done... Don't quote me on this one, but I think he's done nearly up to 1,000 interviews. And he interviews a lot of like really influential sort of, you could say, modern day mystics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so the theme is very much around like awakening and, you know, non-duality and meditation and awareness, you know, all that kind of stuff. And like, I was hooked. I actually, you know, probably did a podcast every day for like, I was hungry for it, especially like around 2000. And I opened up a yoga studio in 2013, and there was just a massive new container for me. And that container was like, you know, well-being, personal development, you know, yoga, meditation. And so I was, you know, I suppose like, you know, nowadays it's really trendy. I was probably a little bit ahead of the curve.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, And I came across like Buddha at the Gas Pump, and I was just chewing them up, you know what I mean, and listening to these conversations that I was having so much resonance with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, and having these people come on and share their direct experience. And it was things that I'd been experiencing, you know, already in the practice of meditation, or just I was changing. I'd gone from like a, you know, being a bit of a party boy, you know, a tennis coach through my 20s, got to like 27. And I couldn't hit another tennis ball. I was like, I was done. I'd played tennis since I was 5. And I knew there was something else for me. And I just naturally like stepped away from the tennis court and moved in a new direction. And I went into the unknown. I didn't really have much of an idea of what I wanted to do next. But I just took a brave move, stepped away. And I took some time out. And then upon reflection, you know, was in a place of contemplation. I was asking some big questions of myself. That was like, I actually, you know, come out of Liverpool. I went to Thailand. I spent some time away, and that was just a really nourishing experience. I sort of went from this like realm of time, this linear experience, you know, this like push and doing, and to just a space of being, and it was timeless. It was spontaneous. It was like, it was magic, you know. Oh. And then, and so that gave me like, it was like a time in my life that I was just resting the soul. I was really tired. I'd like burnt the candle at every which end you could burn it, you know, through the 20s. And then, you know, like 2013, 14, you know, opening up a yoga studio And then being in a completely holistic container.
Yeah.
Which for me was just like a almost like a sweet shop. I was really, really, I was really lucky. You know, I mean, we certainly found a sweet spot. There wasn't much yoga in, you know, in South Liverpool at the time, and it was very looking back, it was very synchronistic, and it was meant to be.
Yeah.
And once that unfolded, you know, it was just like this container of yoga. I did so much yoga. You know, I spent a couple of years. I was probably doing like 3 hours a day.
Wow.
For like a couple of years, I was addicted to it, and just being on that mat. And going through that process and being guided by some incredible teachers as well, just give me an opportunity to like begin to really understand myself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, understand my personality. You know, like turning the gaze back on myself as well. And I remember coming across a term, self-realization, in 2013, and I was drawn to it. I was like, "What's that?
Self-realization.
What's that?" You know, and I really went after like this internal landscape for many years, and using, you know, the container of yoga, really started to lean into many different modalities of meditation. And then I was reading books on, you know, on all matters related, you know, a lot of esoteric concepts. I was studying the high achievers. I was just hungry for growth, you know what I mean? And change. And within that, you know, there was a lot of workshops, seminars, there was more travel. Teacher training, you know, I was really hungry for it, and it was like I was in it. It was thick and fast for many years, and it sort of stabilized over a period of time. So, you know, coming back to the podcasts, Buddha at the Gas Pump, that was a go to for me.
Yeah.
And it really a lot. What it did was it didn't just educate me, but it gave me some signposts. You know what I mean? It gave me some, you know, reference points to understand like what was happening to me, because change is difficult.
100%.
You know, and I was like, you know, shedding skin, peeling off the layers, and I never doubted my experience, but it was uncomfortable. You know, and you know, it was also uncomfortable for people in and around my own culture.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, struggled to accept that there was a shift for me or a change.
And they
wanted like this old, you know, version of me.
Yeah. Because you're a lot of energy, man. Like, you're a good energy, right?
Thank you.
And you know that. Like, I soon as I met you, mate, when we met in Liverpool, sorry to interrupt, but like, I was like hooked on this guy. We went to that pub, that restaurant.
Albert Schloss.
Yeah, me, you, yeah. Steve, and your daughter.
Yeah.
She slept. She was, I think she was well.
Yeah, she was chilled, wasn't she?
And I was like, I'm hooked on this guy. Like, just the energy you brought, right? So I can imagine, you know, possibly the party boy Martin as well was a great energy too.
Yeah.
So that transition from that stage to this stage, hey, hang on, what's Martin up to, you know? So
yeah, what's going on here? Like, and again, I loved partying.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think underneath that, what I really love is celebration. You know what I mean? I love people. You know, I'm in love with the world.
Yeah.
And you know, I think I used the dance floor as a wonderful container to like not just express myself, and to feel a level of liberation and freedom. I also on that dance floor always felt really close to myself. Do you know what I mean? I felt really grounded. I wasn't so in the head. I wasn't, you know, predicting a possible future, trying to work things out. So it allowed me to be. And upon reflection, you know, really looking back, it's like, you know, yoga class or meditation. It was like a permission slip for me to just relax into myself and rest in that nature. But there was a sell-by date on that as well, you know what I mean? You know, I still like getting on my feet on the dance floor now and then. You know, I have to pick them battles. You know? I think for many years I didn't see a Sunday for like probably 10 years, you know. So that was like, I think, you know, growing up in Liverpool and also, you know, being a tennis coach, I think I was very fortunate because I did what I loved. Do you know what I mean? I did what I loved. And that may have been a bit inflated at certain times, you know, and some selfish tendencies, and I may have hurt some people along the way. But, you know, life was my playground. Do you know what I mean? And we learn as we go.
Yeah.
We definitely do. And I know I have. And so sort of coming away from them containers, and exploring, you know, new modalities and
yeah.
new opportunities. I also like meeting new people.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm really inspired. It's a big value of mine of like just meeting people, you know what I mean, and getting under the skin with people.
It's powerful that, you know, because when you, for instance, tennis background, right, you're so used to a certain type of, you know, the conversation before you even start, realistically, yeah. how you're doing, yeah, good, how's training been, X, Y, and Z, you know, yeah. and then you come across someone else that's hit you from a different angle, such as, I like that. And we're very emotion-based, yeah. right? So we're very much, that's new, but it feels good. You're drawn to that now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like someone's bit you on the arm, or like you got that itchy, you know, that itchy bite.
Yeah.
You just got to keep
You got to go it. For it. Yeah. Like, I think we're natural explorers, all of us, you know, and I know I'm a big adventurer. And within that, I was always inspired to, like, not just, you know, I suppose, understand and you know, understand the world. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You know, and then within that, I always tried to understand myself. And the more I've gone into that space, it's allowed me to understand others more.
Mm.
So my, you know, the sense of compassion has really improved in my life, because this sense of like understanding me gives me an opportunity to understand others. Mm. And yeah, I've always been inspired to just like listen, you know, listen to other people's stories and resonance. I love resonance, you know what I mean? But I think for as long as I can remember, I've always been very open-minded as well. Mm. I'm not sure where that comes from. I've certainly unpicked that in therapy. You know, I have a therapist and I've been able to unpick some stuff in therapy, which, you know, it helps me to understand why I am who I am, or why Martin behaves in a certain way, you know. So yeah, like just always been in love with life, love connecting with people. It's been a pleasure, and I've had some amazing times, you know, like been very fortunate to travel the world, you know, party. You know, I had a great job. I worked in a professional, you know, setting with in David Lloyd as a tennis coach. And then just like, you know, there was just this new chapter. And when we opened up Planet Yoga, which is the yoga studio in Liverpool, in 2013, that was just like, it was like a brand new island I'd never been on. You know what I mean? But it was full of possibility.
Yeah,
and I didn't even know back then, like, you know, actually what it was going to bring in my life. Do you know what I mean? The fruits of that decision. You know, I mean, it was never an easy ride, you know, because when you do begin to look at yourself and when you're running a business, you know, you're a caretaker. You know, we're the one with the keys, so we've got to take care of the people who come to the studio. So we've had so many ups and downs. I want to say we, it's like me and my father. You know, he was like the other half of the business.
Okay.
And how that's like crystallized over a period of time is, you know, it's just been a wonderful yoga studio, which has brought me so much. It's just brought me so much education.
Wow.
So much transformation and within that, like I met my partner. We've got a child. You know, and it's been amazing, because so many people just came to me.
Yeah.
I had this yoga studio, and like all these people that, you know, who, I mean, typically people who come to a yoga studio, you know, they can be a little bit more open minded.
Yeah,
you know, they're looking for something.
Yeah,
you know, they're definitely maybe even looking to potentially become better or improve themselves, not just through yoga, but there can be like that spiritual aspect.
Yeah.
That people are drawn to. So, and over the years, I was like blessed to have so many amazing opportunities to connect with so many different, so many different people from all walks of life, you know. And they've made an impression on me.
Yeah,
you know, and I've become the person I am today because of the people, really.
Yeah. It's amazing, all of that you just said, Martin. I'm like this. Grab this part. There's so many gems in this, but. One thing in particular, which is very touching, when you become more authentically yourself, because everything you've done is very like the love. I love doing this. I'm going to love do that now, right? And then you've got these crowds of people rocking up.
Mm.
But you're being yourself.
Yeah.
So that's not like ego-based. That's more like just you, you know, like not trying to fit into society, but like hang on, Martin's onto something there.
Yeah.
That curiosity again, but just you being yourself, which is a powerful feeling. It's like a mad buzz, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, upon reflection, I think I've always felt a sense of like being myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And within that, there's an individualism and there's a uniqueness, you know, and there's also natural leadership.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a nature of being a rebel as well. You know, I've always, you know, sort of led my own ship, so to speak. Mm. And being incredibly decisive and like what I wanted in the world. And I went after it. I think some of that was inflated. And some of that also, you know, came from a place of lack and scarcity.
Yeah.
You know, and I suppose I've learned so much more about human psychology and human behaviour for me to take a look at all this stuff and reflect upon some of my behaviour in the past, just so I can really, you know, shine a compassionate light upon that and neutralise, you know, some of them polarised experiences. But I've always had a sense of just self, a sense of like just grounded, this is who I am. And there's, you know, there's just like an authenticity there. I wear my heart on my sleeve, you know. And I think within that, there's like less fear of being judged. Mm. You know, I know I'm going to be judged. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I might as well be authentic along the way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
And don't get me wrong, you know, I've worn masks, of course. We all wear masks to a degree. You know, and we're always promoting our self-image as well, you know, because we want to be seen, we want to be acknowledged. We have a longing to belong.
Yes.
So we want to be heard and felt and acknowledged and loved. And so, you know, we almost subscribe our ego and inflate it to a degree where you want somebody else to like you.
Yeah.
And I've done that. You know, everybody does that.
We all do it.
But I think, you know, looking back and really owning where I'm at now is like, I really just feel like this is who I am. You know what I mean? This is who I am, you know what I mean? If you like me, sound. And if you don't like me, equally sound.
Yeah.
You know, and I've found that equanimity with it. And I suppose I've lived with that for many years.
Wow. That's just that thought right then, right, took me to this place. So, for instance, my dad at the moment, he's not well. He's in hospital. He had a really big skid, but he's still in hospital. But since then, right, it's like his filter's gone.
Mm.
So now, he used to worry a lot about, you know, what people think, or if he said something wrong, overthink it. You know, and deal with that by alcohol.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Of course.
But then the other day he had this scare, so he's in hospital at the moment, but he's lost his filter.
Mm.
So like, for instance, the nurses would walk past and he's like, they're going 100 miles per hour. And he's like, hey, settle down. What are you doing? Like, you know, not angry at them, but just telling them, hey, like, what are you in a crazy rush for? Like, settle down. And then when she walked by, he just looks to me. I actually videoed it. He goes, hey, see that and all? He goes, I would have never done that before this accident. But he's speaking in like a third person. I said, what do you mean? He goes, oh, if I said, you know, anything to someone, I would overthink it. I'd worry about it. I'd be mulling on it for weeks. So I just shut up.
Mm.
But he goes, this has just taught me to just live life to the fullest and don't give a fuck what people say. Not in a way of you got to be mean to people, but the fact that like speak from your heart and whatever happens, happens. But like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And when you just said that then, it just was like, wow.
It's a compassionate truth. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's this sort of saying, unapologetically being myself.
Mm.
And I think it's like, I don't give a fuck about others, but it's like, I don't give a compassionate fuck.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Instead of being like, because it can, even that, like, I don't give a fuck, can create separation.
Yeah.
And really, we don't want to be separated from the world. Mm. You know, we want to be connected.
Yeah.
You know, we have this innate drive to connect, you know, and what disconnects us from others is this ego mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, and then because we have labels and belief systems and mental constructs and it creates separation, you know, between people. Mm.
Or like, for instance, like your beliefs and this are my beliefs, so
that
type of thing?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I could say, well, I'm a Liverpool fan and you say, well, I'm you know, I'm a Manchester fan or whatever. And already there's a label then.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, and then I could say, well, I'm a Christian. You say, well, I'm a Buddha.
Yeah.
I practice Buddhism, and it's like, oh, it's a label.
So we can't, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so straight away, you start to size somebody up, you know, just because of potentially the labels that they carry, you know, or the clothes they wear, or the masks they put on.
So true, so true. It's an interesting one, is, you know, when you talk about that area, man, because I think about that, you know, quite a bit. You know, as soon as someone labels them, oh, this is what I am, or this is what I am, even to a degree, right? I'm a big fan. I meditate. I'm a big fan of everyone's spirituality. But then, like, some people go full hog.
Mm.
They, for instance, you know, they might just be something because that's the full package.
Yeah, but,
you're not trying to be someone else. You're trying to be yourself, but in a more of an authentic way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think I heard you say it about having, like, if you like a beer, but then all of a sudden you can't have a beer because you become this certain person.
Of course.
Like, well, why are you, so, you know what I mean?
Well, people just place expectations onto us all the time. Do you know what I mean? And I think within the realms of our psychology, you could say, you know, your ego personality, you know, there's a full spectrum of like perceived good qualities and perceived not so good qualities. And, you know, what we do is we promote what we think the world wants to see, but we hide the not so good qualities, you know what I mean? And that's the shadow bit. Mm. You know, it's, you could say it's like the Jekyll and Hyde or, you know, or Hulk. You know, the Hulk and Bruce Banner. You know, Bruce Banner's like, he's the respectable scientist, you know what I mean? And then you've got, you know, the Hulk who's just like the green-eyed monster who wrecks everything. Mm. You know, and I think within these personality traits, people, you know, they almost overcompensate their good qualities because they want to be liked by people. But also they will wear their labels very proudly. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Whatever them labels are, it's like, oh, this is who I am. And it's who the ego has become. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes even that, it's like a construct that may have been placed upon you without your permission. You know, I'll give you an example. Like, you know, you could be a boy who's in your mother's womb and you live in Liverpool. Mm. And before you've even come out, someone in the family's gone, he's a red.
Yeah.
He's a blue. He's Catholic. And you know what? He's going to be a doctor. He's going to be a joiner. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, you haven't even been here. And people are placing these belief systems onto you, do you know what I mean? And these expectations.
Yeah.
And because as a child, you know, you are so attached onto your caregivers, you end up, you know, overcompensating. Or you self-sacrifice what's important to you just to please somebody else's expectation. Mm. And most people do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the work I do, you know, in Liverpool and beyond is, especially with the meditation, is I help people really to reclaim their attention.
I like that.
That's a big one. Like, because our attention gets lost. You know, there's a fight for your attention, by the way. You know, all day, every day, there's a fight for your attention. Social media, Nike, Marks and Spencer's, you know, Rolex, Jaguar, whatever. They're fighting for your attention. They're like, come over here.
Yeah.
You know, we want you to buy our stuff because it's gonna make you look good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're a cool dude now. and so, like, when we actually reclaim this attention, and that's a big part of the meditation journey is, you know, because attention gets lost in thought as well. And so when we notice the thoughts that we're entertaining, we can notice the stories that we're telling ourselves. And what is it that we're trying to prove? What are we trying to promote? What are we trying to defend?
Because
we have, like, a one-sided bias in the mind. So these belief systems, unbeknown to us, they make us who we've become. Yeah. And then we try to defend and protect them belief systems because it gives us a sense of identity. Do you know what I mean? And that's what we're looking for. We're actually looking for a sense of self.
Yeah.
But we use the ego for us as a compensation for a sense of being.
Yeah.
You know, sense of being. And so when we reclaim this attention, when we recapture this attention, then it gives us an opportunity to begin to reflect, like a neutral reflection upon the way we behave. You know what I mean? The way we act out. It's actually the way we react out. Do you know what I mean? You know, because a lot of the time we're not very conscious. So we're unconscious.
Yeah.
And when we're unconscious, we've checked out. Mm. And when we've checked out, the subconscious has taken over. And the subconscious mind is just the storehouse of all your habits. So, and all your habits is basically the person you've become. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, you know, unbeknown to us, we're just trying to defend, protect, promote, validate these belief systems. We just get yesterday and put it onto today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're just sleepwalking through life, you know.
Yeah.
And then we use the outside world for, like, instant gratification. Or the outside world, like, captures our attention. And really, it can be an inside job. And this is the process of beginning to take a look at your psychology. You know what I mean? The way you psychologically navigate life and the way you intellectualize things. And when you do that, if you have the courage, you begin to take ownership.
Yeah.
Not, you know, you own your good qualities, but you also own your perceived not so good qualities. And when you take ownership, there's less blaming and shaming.
Yeah.
There's just radical responsibility. And then you can, and then you feel more of yourself.
Yeah.
You're just more authentic.
Do you think though as well, that regarding all of that though, Martin, like when you reflect on the good and the bad, like some people, well, some, even myself, man, when I say some people, I'm talking about myself, you know what I mean? We can beat ourselves up though. Yeah. Like, acknowledge it, aware of it.
Yeah.
But don't spiral for
fun. Well, we condemn ourselves, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's because the expectations that people place upon us, or we place upon ourselves, the standards are too high.
Yeah.
And them standards, we can't sustain them. You know, and no wonder we're bipolar. We're polarized, you know, because the standards are so high. Yeah. And it's like this all or nothing attitude.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if we can take a look at our stuff, but actually shine a compassionate light upon it, And the compassionate light's also a neutral light. Just learn how to observe it. Just learn how to watch it, you know. And then from there, you can begin to, or for me, you begin a journey of embodying a healthy egoic identity. And that healthy egoic identity for me is someone who takes responsibility, accountability, lives a life of integrity. You know, maturity, open-minded, you know, like there's a cleanliness, you know, you're also in an abundant mindset. It's a win-win dynamic, you know. An unhealthy egoic identity, someone who's like closed-minded, always protects that image, immature, blames and shames, probably plays the victim, you know, and it takes, you know, when you actually see yourself reacting, then you can take a look and you do one or two things. You'll either own it and say, okay, this is my stuff, I'm going to work with it. Yeah. That's called self-development.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The real one.
Yeah. The real one. People are just like, what's this self-development all about? It's when you look in the mirror, mate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's when you take a look in the mirror and you begin to own all your stuff. Because some people are just afraid to own their good qualities as well. Yeah. They give the power away to people. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. All day, every day, we're giving our power away to people. Yeah. And so if you see it in somebody else, you've got it within yourself. Mm. We're all just mirrors. You know what I mean?
But even that's like, we're compliments, right?
Yeah.
How can we give a compliment if we can't receive one?
Like,
but I know people who can't give compliments.
Mm.
But then it's like, it's a funny one. Like, how authentic is that compliment if you can't receive it? Like, why do we get this fuzzy feeling sometimes?
Sometimes it's just difficult for us to receive and own. You know, when someone might say, oh, you're looking great, and you go, wait, and just doesn't feel right in the body, do you know what I mean? And, you know, and then we almost deflect it straight away.
Yeah.
But we deflect the good qualities, but we also deflect the fucking not so good qualities, you know what I mean? Because we just almost don't want to take ownership because we're afraid. The ego's afraid to just be seen in its fullness.
Yeah.
And that's the dark and the light together. And that's a practice in itself, you know, Ollie, you know what I mean? Like, this is a skill. This stuff doesn't just come overnight. I mean, there's a moral compass in there that we listen to, but we've not really been educated on how to live a healthy egoic identity, you know, to take a look at our psychology, you know, to get into these win-win transactions, to actually communicate and negotiate with the people around us. We've never really been taught how to communicate and negotiate, you know what I mean? And I think because, you know, we're afraid to be vulnerable. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think from the inception of birth, life's gonna make you hard. Do you know what I mean? You know, but when we're so hard, we're like stiff. We become rigid, and that's no wonder we snap. Do you know what I mean? No wonder we there's rage in us. Do you know what I mean? And I think the journey is where was I going with that one? I was going somewhere with that one. So, you know, the journey is learning how to become soft again.
Yeah.
Because when we're hard, we end up getting into the mind a lot.
Mm.
So we're in the head. And because we're so attached and subscribed, we're actually oversubscribed to the ego self. Is then that's why we're always rehearsing, predicting, projecting to a possible future, reminiscing the past. Because the ego likes to know where it's going, but it likes to know where it's been.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so, you know, the journey is learning how to manage the mind. Do you know what I mean? You know, and that's a big part of the meditation journey. It's like you reclaim your attention,
yeah,
but you learn how to actually manage the stories we tell ourselves. You know, we have like 40,000 to 70,000 thoughts every day.
Yeah, well.
We have an intellect. We're narrating the world. Do you know what I mean? You can't. It's not about stopping thoughts. It's about learning how to manage the mind.
But how many of the thoughts we talk about we create on top of that as well?
Oh well, we just make assumptions because we have a desire for certainty. So we're always predicting a possible future because we're terrified of the unknown.
Yeah.
We're not actually afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of the thought of the unknown.
Yeah.
Just a thought. You know what I mean? So, you know, thoughts are not the enemy, but some of the thoughts that we believe to be true can put our physiology out of balance.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when we're psychologically overthinking and the body's tense and it's armored up, you know what I mean? So we become seriously vigilant, hyper-vigilant, suspicious. We become skeptical. You know what I mean? And within that, we're closed.
Yeah.
We're closed. And the journey is like learning how to get in the body, let the body do what it does best, which is rest in its nature. Mm. You know, and so what practices have we got? Whatever these practices are to like connect again, connect to our nature, connect to a place of vulnerability. You know, but it's the mind holds on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It holds on for dear life. So anything that's vulnerable or surrendering or yielding, it's like, nah. And then even the ego mind sees that as weakness. It's not weakness. You know what I mean? You know, it's a strength.
Yeah.
It's an amazing strength to drop back in the body. And then there's just natural confidence. It's like this inner quiet knowing. You know what I mean? Just like, oh yeah, I know who I am. I'm settled in presence. Mm. I've got direction. Got a healthy egoic identity. You know, I'm driving towards something that's purposeful to me. Mm. I'm going to create some order around that. I'm going to manage some time.
Yeah.
I'm going to be direct and get some action. And within that, you know, you'll just have some fun anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a natural celebration. So you're staying close to like your nature, your centeredness. And for me, then there's like natural enthusiasm. That's that vibe, you know, we were talking about at the start, you know what I mean? It's just a vibe.
Yeah.
Just like it's infectious. It's because you're in the center of abundance. You're not in a vibration of lack.
Yeah, yeah.
Scarcity, victim.
Yeah.
Blaming and shaming, complaining. You know what I mean? Like, because that's a vibration. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's a heavy one. It's really heavy. You know, so when we actually do some inner work and take some ownership and step up and grow up, and all of a sudden, we're like, you know, we're creating the conditions on a daily basis for you to be in a place of presence, sacredness, connection and celebration.
Yeah.
The good stuff, you know?
The good stuff. The connection one for me is powerful. I think over the years, we've become more of a society as such, like you say, but we've become lonelier, you know? I think COVID has played a massive factor. And so many people had social anxiety from getting out of the house and connecting people and whatnot. But I feel my fullest when I'm connecting with people.
Yeah. It's our nature. Mm. Do you know what I mean? We have an innate drive to connect. I think as well, like we're being roboticized. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, we do live in a culture that it is artificial intelligence and it's here to stay. Do you know what I mean? So we have to learn how to be with it. But the big one is learning how to like set some boundaries around it.
Boundaries, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you know, we need it. You know, we need it to connect. Like, you need it to pay bills. You know, you need it it's just where it's at. Do you know what I mean? And I think if you can use it wisely and learn how to use it, like, we're not even taught how to use this stuff wisely. Do you know what I mean? And so, you know, we spend a lot of time on screens, and that's fine. You know what I mean? But I think we've got to learn how to equally spend just as much time, like, off the screen or in nature. Do you know what I mean? Or connecting with others. 100%. And it's also so easy to connect with people off on the screen and not off the screen.
So true.
You know what I mean? Because it's almost it takes away almost this level of like being judged. You know what I mean? Or this fear of being accepted. So it's just like it's easier on a screen.
Of course.
You know what I mean? You know, it's, let's just get on the screens. And it's also easy to promote your image on a screen, do you know what I mean? You know, you can play around with filters nowadays. You can look $1 million.
Yeah, I know, man.
You know what I mean? And so, being in person, we are losing this interaction.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We're losing this social interaction. We've already been domesticated, you know what I mean, for many years. Now we're being roboticized.
Yeah.
And you're just like, fucking hell, we're up against it. Do you know what I mean? We're up against it. And it takes some personal will. It takes courage and vulnerability to say, hang on a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have this innate drive to connect to my nature. So let's get in nature.
Yes.
Let's get it. And I also have this innate drive to naturally connect with others. But because we're not very good at doing it,
yeah.
Or there's a fear of being rejected, it's like, there's a wall. You know what I mean? There's a wall. And it's getting worse.
Yeah.
It is getting worse, you know what I mean?
It's just got to be people like yourself and the, you know, the Men Without Masks that you're doing as well, yeah. Facilitating in that, and the, you know, your meditation that you do in Liverpool. These are the things that connect the people closer. So I think these things are so important.
Mm.
You know, retreats, obviously, you know, community catch-ups. Yeah. These are powerful, you know. And like we were talking about earlier about this space, it's passion-driven. It's not money-driven because you're just following this.
Yeah.
You know, you're following this.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting thing you said earlier about the ego and connecting to it. And as you know, being in the sports, playing tennis, very much connected to this identity at one stage.
Yeah.
And I did, we'll go down a bit of the psychedelics past, but I did the DMT, and I mentioned it to you before about, I was really struggling with the identity about 5 years ago, four or 5 years ago. And I remember seeing this like Egyptian woman, and she just like grabbed my hand, like grabbed it, not that I just followed her essentially eyes closed and whatnot. And we just walked into like this realm, and there was my brain there. And anyone who's never done it would be like, what the fuck is he on about? But she pulled my brain apart like a filing cabinet, man. She just went like this. I remember, and she went one step back, and she pulled out, and there's an image of me as a rugby player. And she just went like this from the ass to the toes, like a zip. Boom. And it just fell off.
Wow.
And I was naked.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, without saying the word, she was like, that's who you are.
That's who you are.
You're not that. These are aspects of you.
Absolutely.
But you're that guy.
Yeah.
And it was a moment then of like, I'm not saying that changed my whole life, but it brought some form of awareness to recognize that, you know, and I didn't walk out there. I didn't leave that day going, fuck, I feel like $1 million now. It was like, whoa.
Wow. Yeah. It was like a revelation that you couldn't deny.
Yeah.
Undeniable. Yeah.
Laughed. I cried.
Yeah. I mean, what you do with that's the big one is what you do with it. Mm. It shows you something. Then the rest is up to you. Do you know what I mean? That's what plant medicine will do, or DMT or whatever. It'll show you something. And there is definitely healing that occurs, and you know, but inevitably it's the work's done after.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I mean, yeah.
It's done after. It showed me something. You can deny it and turn your back on it, and go, wow, I've just been shown something. Like, it was inspiring, and like it showed me who I really am.
Yeah,
underneath the mask, underneath the outfit. Do you know what I mean? Or and the labels of the rugby guy. You know, Ollie the rugby man. You know, and that's who we become. They're parts of who we become. Yeah. You know, I was labelled the tennis guy for many years, and I suppose now there's the label of the meditation guy, you know what I mean? And that's okay. People are going to label you. Like, I'm labelled by, there's hundreds of people who label me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Some people think he's a lovely guy. Some people think he's a knobhead. Do you know what I mean? You know, I'm labelled all day by the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To be somebody or something. It's when we have these revelations of like, there's the sense of nakedness, you know what I mean? We're in our naked truth. And that naked truth for me is a sense of being.
Yeah.
It's being. It's just the human being. And that within that being is this presence. Mm. And that presence is our natural self.
Yeah.
It's our nature, you know? And within that, there's presence. And you could say that presence is of an awareness.
Yeah.
And that awareness is of an aliveness, so it's life itself, but it's unconditional, has no conditions, it's unbiased, it's not polarized, it's neutral, you know, and it's unchanging, and it's always been there, but the reason we miss it is because it's so obvious.
Yeah.
It's so simple, we overlook it. So we look outside of ourselves for a sense of self.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, people say, be yourself. You say, I don't know who I really am.
Yeah.
And there's this naked self even before your name. Do you know what I mean? Mm. You know, as soon as you're given a name, there's an identity.
Yeah. He's so-and-so. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Ollie. You know what I mean? And that's okay. You know, and that's what makes us unique as well. You know, but within that, there's something so beautiful, but there's also something that is also disempowering.
Yeah.
Because then straight away, there's a separation from the natural self. And then one becomes two.
Yeah.
And that two is self, the real self, the true self, the presence of self, the being, and then the ego self. Mm. But we do have an ego because we have an intellect. We're the only species that can intellectualize something at the level of words. And so, you know, our ego is always trying to make sense of the world. You know what I mean? It's you know, and I think this is what causes this separation. The mind is a great asset, but it's the origin of all the conflict in your life.
Yeah.
All the suffering, all the conflict that most of the time you feel comes from the intellect and how we intellectualize things, you know, because it's just the labels of the ego. So, you know, this experience you've had, it's just showing you who you are underneath it.
Yeah.
And it's, there's a human beingness.
Yeah.
And that, within that beingness, within that essence of awareness, it's pure possibility. It's limitless. It's formless, shapeless, timeless.
Yeah.
You know, and when we feel into that nakedness, which is available to us all at all times, you know, we begin a journey of presence. People think, I need to be in the present moment. Nah, man, you're missing it. You need to be the presence that you already are. And when you drop into that, when that lands, you're like, ah, there's a presence here. Watching a great program at the minute on Netflix, and it was about chimpanzees, you know what I mean? Great program. And, you know, within them apes, there's a presence, but they also have feelings, you know what I mean? They haven't got no intellectualizing of thoughts, but there's feelings. And so they follow their instinct, and they listen to their feelings, and then respond spontaneously, you know, from their nature. Yeah. We have presence, like the chimps. We have feelings like them, but we also have thoughts. You know what I mean? And we actually just get lost in thoughts a lot of the time. And there's nothing wrong with thoughts. You know, we've got an intellect, can't get rid of the mind. But when we learn how to have a better relationship with our thoughts, we can go beyond our limitations. You have to be prepared to look at things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Thoughts are just the way you perceive. It's the filter you were talking about with your father.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just the filter's gone. You know, and so when we remove the, you know, these belief systems, there's this nakedness.
Yeah.
People can be afraid of that. You know what I mean? People are afraid to be just resting in presence because, well, the ego is afraid of it because it feels like, well, who am I?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you've got your ego and then you've got this true essence of self. And for me, the golden nugget and what I've learned from, you know, over a period of time is like, live a healthy egoic identity, but live it with spirit.
Yeah.
Live a spirited life through the mask. But the mask is a healthy mask. You know what I mean? That mask that you wear of the ego is also, there's no cap on it. So you have to give yourself permission to, you know, become keep becoming the best version of yourself. That takes practice. It takes accountability and responsibility. You know, and that's a never-ending game. That's called personal developing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, and I think there's something beautiful about developing the personal self. But we have to be careful that we're not just invested totally in the personal self, because we're divested in our natural selves.
So true. Yeah.
So if we turn the gaze back, it takes the ego. It's the ego which has an investment now in the impersonal self, which is the natural self, which is the sense of being. And then, you know, that for me is like you're coming back to something which is natural, which is sacred, which is precious. And when that becomes a priority for the ego, you know, then you can marry the two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when they're married, you know what I mean? And they're cohesive, you're in a place of like there's depth and there's celebration and there's presence. You know, presence is such a great gift. And we're just there, you know. Excuse me.
That's all right. Obviously, you going through this journey, though, and you meeting your wife on this journey. I wonder what that deeper, you know, that, you know, we talk about that deeper connection, but you're on this journey, you know, you've got, like, you're obviously, you know, curious when you started, both of you together. Like you said, you met in the meditation studio. So,
yeah,
you know, you're on the same path a certain extent, you know?
I mean, you know, I always wanted, like, I like to be emotionally stimulated. You know, so I always really welcome like really open, honest conversations about anything and everything. You know, that's where I really, that's where I thrive. It's what turns me on, you know.
Same.
And so like having someone there who didn't judge me or maybe even going to an edge and having some taboo conversations, but you know, was open-minded enough to like share them and share her, you know, belief systems and yeah, like that's been like it's been liberating for me, you know. Don't get me wrong, we've had our struggles, like
everyone.
Fucking hell. But she's, you know, my partner's my greatest teacher, you know, and then we were fortunate enough to, you know, to birth a child together. And then so becoming a father and becoming a parent, and a guardian of a soul and a human, that's been incredible.
Yeah.
You know, like that has been probably the best thing that's ever truly happened, you know, and I've lived a really fortunate life, but haven't become a father. And it's, you know, you got to own your own shit. Because, you know, you're not just, because, you know, you naturally want to protect them, but you're placing belief systems onto them. Mm. You know what I mean? Without their permission.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd like to think that whatever you're placing upon them is, at least it's neutral. You know what I mean? And it's empowering. My job as a father is to just nurture this child and make sure she, you know, she is decisive.
Yeah, yeah.
And she takes responsibility, you know, that she's being herself. I think one of the greatest things that I'd like to think I could nurture is this sense of just her being herself, being authentic, you know, and helping her understand that she gets older, that, you know, the world's going to challenge her. Yeah. It's going to throw you curveballs. It's not just, you know, it's a difficult place to live in. You know what I mean? But, you know, that's where we can develop that egoic experience. So, you know, she is vigilant. You know, so she is on the ball. You know what I mean? That she does make decisions. And just learns how to become a really good human, you know, and I'd like to think that made me partner, you know, open-minded enough and rebellious enough, but also respectful enough of life to, you know, bring the child in to give her the best possible opportunity to celebrate, to be present, to be herself. And within that, you know, I know she'll touch other people's lives. You know what I mean? You know, that for me, that's what we're here for. Mm. We're here to contribute.
No, I totally agree. I think impacting people's lives in a positive way.
Yeah.
That's part of what I do now for work, but it's just a powerful feeling now.
Yeah.
It's just such a celebrate. I want to celebrate just as much.
It's a worthy cause. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not just all about me.
No.
You know, we think the ego is the star in the show. You know what I mean? And that's okay. You know, Martin's cool. but I think for me, like what I really love about how I am now committed to like serving others. Do you know what I mean?
Powerful.
But within that, serving myself.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, we can get so inflated in serving others and at the, at the level of our own, you know, we sort of self-sacrifice our own pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, we self-sacrifice ourselves. So life can become like a lose-win.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so I want to make sure that within what I'm serving and contributing, that it brings emotional satisfaction, it elevates the mood. You know, I'm getting paid in the process as well. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
win-win.
Yeah, it's a win-win. Like, and so this cleanliness just, it gives me the opportunity to continue to serve. You know what I mean? It feels like a really nice ecosystem.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Where everyone thrives, you know, or, you know, most of the time. And, you know, we're creating community and people come together. And the best part of my job is the people. Mm. It's the people.
Yeah.
You know, and I've become a better person because of the people. You know, the teacher needs the student just as much as the student needs the teacher.
Yeah.
And I'm a student as well, you know what I mean? I'm a student of life. And so having the people who've come in my direction with a willingness to develop. You know what I mean? But also, like, find out who they really are.
Yeah.
You know, and I give people a platform of education and direct experience for them to sink into what they already know. They've just forgotten it.
Yes. I love that. You're just full of gems, mate. You are. I love it, though. I love it. Talk about experiences. I don't know if you can... Are you allowed to talk about, like, any of your clients or...
Yeah, absolutely.
What about, you know, I know she's quite highly well-known, Meatball Molly.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of work with her, haven't you?
Yeah, we've done some work together. I think what I love about Molly McCann is that she's a diamond first and foremost, and she's just been herself. Actually, she's lived a really interesting life, you know. And she's got spirit and she's got heart, and she's also got she's got multi levels of intelligence. She's got a great mind as well. And through her own background and experience, it's shaped and made her the person she is today. And sometimes, you know, I think what happened for Molly was that when that sort of notoriety really kicked in, it was overwhelming for her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I really loved how she helped me in such a regard to just, you know, maybe just guide her back a little bit, yeah. back to herself. And we kept things really simple. Do you know what I mean? When you get the basics right and you get the formalities and the fundamentals, like, of coming back to self,
yeah.
and learning how to deal with, you know, the expectations from others, but also that pressure. Do you know what I mean? That pressure to win, that pressure to always be available for people. So she came in my direction, and it was like, it was an easy win for the pair of us, you know, because there was natural respect. There was a spiritual bond. And I knew that, like, she was also willing, you know what I mean? Like, she came in my direction. I didn't, you know, I didn't go and go looking for everyone. Yeah, she came in my direction. So there was like a personal will there for her as well. And then, we kept it simple. You know, I just give her a container to manage her emotions, just to speak and to be vulnerable, you know, and for that to be, you know, kept in confidence.
Yeah.
We did some, we helped her just to manage her schedule a little bit better. And, you know, I just turned the gaze back on her self-care. Nice. She just set some boundaries, you know, she felt like she had an emotional container. I think it wasn't about me making sure she was a better fighter. It was about making her a better person.
Powerful, man. So true.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not bothered about Molly, Meatball Molly.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, I'm really not. Do you know what I mean? Like, I obviously I wanted to win and I wanted to succeed and I wanted to enjoy and celebrate. But my job is to, like, make sure that she's in fullest expression.
Yeah.
In or outside the octagon. You know what I mean? Yeah. And she's looking, and she does everything, and she does the small things in a great way. She lives a life of excellence everywhere. And if you live a life of excellence everywhere, then there's no, you know, there's just, you just excel.
Yeah.
You're maximizing your potential. Do you know what I mean? You're within spirit.
Mm.
And so, you know, it was dead easy work. Do you know what I mean? And you know, we've got a great bond. And I just, you know, I'd like to just think we're just really good friends.
It's the power.
And she knows I'm here for her. Do you know what I mean? And when you know you've got people in your corner, like, I'm just here for her. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want nothing from her.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? I'm in love with her. She's an amazing person. You know, she's full of life, full of zest. So she's my type of person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you know, we've had a bit of time, you know, just doing a bit of work together or just having a walk around the park, you know, and we've socialized as well. You know, I've been fortunate enough to just, you know, share a couple of beers with her. You know what I mean? And some good grub. You know what I mean? And then she obviously invited me over to New York last year, which was, you know, a great gift for me.
Yeah.
So I got to travel as well as, you know, being in that working container. And it was just like, wow. So I felt really fortunate.
Yeah.
So, you know, the likes of Meatball, like, they're so easy clients to work with. Do you know what I mean? And I love her to pieces and I wish her all the best, you know, in all her endeavours.
Yeah, she's on a path, that girl, absolutely killing it. But one key thing you said then, you know, I think some people, when they go on this personal development or trying to get the fundamentals right, you know, they try and go extravagant and X, Y, and Z, and get pretty crazy. Yeah. But it's all about simplifying it.
Yeah.
It's all about going backwards to the basics.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to, you know, don't get me wrong, it's good to have direction and to create order and to disciple a culture, you know. But a lot of the time, people aren't getting the basics right. Mm. They don't feel centered. They don't feel grounded. They don't feel safe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even the personal development journey, it can be detrimental.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because we feel like we need to add more.
Yeah.
When really it's about taking away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, coming back to, you know, simplicity, all that divinity that we're truly looking for is in the simplicity. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And then when we get that, and when we come home, I like to use the term return. Or remember, or rewild. You know what I mean? It's just this sense of, I'm returning now. I'm returning to my nature. Mm. And when you're in your nature, you're fluid. Mm. You know what I mean? You know, you are open, you're spontaneous, you're receptive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're trusting, you know, and you're abundant. You're attractive, like a magnet. You know what I mean? And people feel that. That is the force they talk about in Star Wars. That's the force, man. You know what I mean? That's Jedi training. Do you know what I mean?
I believe you, though. I believe you.
And so that's the good stuff. And as I said, like, personal development, it's powerful. But we have to be careful that we're not attached to always getting better.
Yeah.
So for me, the golden nugget, this is my stuff, is that we get better when we take ownership. Mm. If we hold ourselves accountable and show up each day.
Yeah.
And stretch beyond our limitation, there's going to be natural growth. In fact, the growth is organic. You'll get better anyway. Without striving to get better,
yeah,
you're just stretching into betterment. And, you know, that took me a long time to really understand and embody, you know what I mean, and activate in my own culture and then educate others to do the same.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have this, like, I need to get better, I need to get better, yeah. I need to get better. And what they're doing is they're pushing into pain.
Yeah.
They're pushing into pain. And for me, it's like, fucking hell, what are you pushing into pain for? I know things have to get uncomfortable, but don't push into pain every day. Don't be an idiot. Do you know what I mean? Don't do that. You know, like, there's the comfort zone, and then there's, like, this place which is incredibly uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And it's almost like, what are you trying to prove?
Yeah.
And who are you trying to prove it to? Correct. Do you know what I mean? Just stretch yourself each day. Show up and stretch yourself. You know what I mean? And once you find that sweet spot where you're stretching, it's like you're beyond your comfort.
Yeah.
But you're not pushing into pain.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, you can sustain that. You know what I mean? You become consistent. You become naturally disciplined. Do you know what I mean? And then more people trust you. You're competent. You're dangerous. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and so, because sometimes, like, this self-development thing, it's like, you're not accepting actually who you are as well. Do you know what I mean? You know, and what's actually, you know, what is going on for you. Yeah. So it's like, okay, this is who I am, but I'm going to create, you know, some containers for me to activate.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where your habits come in, do you know what I mean? You know, that's where you can schedule in some time, whatever that is. I like to just use the term creating space for connection.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, whatever that is, that might be walking around the park, it might be going to the gym, it might be finding a PT, it might be having a therapist.
Yeah.
If you can have all of these things, even better.
Yeah.
You know, the cold water therapy, but it doesn't have to be cold water. It might be a fucking nice warm bath.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With some nice incense and some, you know, some candles. Like, we're not being kind to ourselves anymore.
No, we're not.
Do you know what I mean? You know, take yourself out for a nice date. Go and get yourself a nice coffee. Yeah. Hang about with the people you love. You know what I mean? Like, and just keep that, you know, just stay in that stretching zone.
Talking about, you know, taking time for yourself. Interesting you say that. So, as you know, I've been in Australia since January and then I came over here. It might just be in the weather. Now we're getting better weather over here. But I find people in Australia, like, you know, work Monday to Friday, whatever their schedule is, but they make time to go do things on the weekend,
yeah,
like get away or go to the beach or go have a coffee with a mate or go. Yeah. Whenever I speak to anyone over here, I'm like, what you doing on the weekend? Oh, just doing some work on the house.
Yeah.
Or just doing this or just doing that. And I'm like, like, where the fuck is your time? Like,
yeah, of course.
You're just putting work on top of work.
Yeah.
And then when you've got a gap to do something, you go, oh, well, I better do this other job now. It's like, just sit.
I mean, the me time is a big decision. You know, when you actually, you know, say, hang on a minute, I'm going to give myself a bit of time and space to actually just, like, but because our self-worth's on the floor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's, like, there's no confidence. Mm. That can be a big step for people. Do you know what I mean? So we end up busying ourselves up. You know what I mean? And maybe spinning a lot of plates or spinning other people's plates. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And instead of actually, you know, because, you know, honouring yourself. I mean, no one was sent to you to honour you.
Yeah.
Nobody on this planet was sent to you to get you up out of bed.
Yeah, yeah.
To look after you and honour you. You know what I mean? And so it has to start with you.
Yeah.
It starts with you and ends with you. You know what I mean? And obviously then within that, you're not giving your power away to anybody else that's going where they're going to make you happy or they're going to bring you emotional satisfaction. So if we can get into that space where we become an individual and become very good at, you know, at thriving, you know what I mean? And then there's then a natural co-creation with others, do you know what I mean? There's this independence which becomes, you know, a shared transaction with others.
Yeah.
We just have to be careful we don't become codependent on others. Do you know what I mean? And so it is a big journey of, like, actually saying, hang on a minute, I'm going to take a little bit of time out for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to use the term self-maintenance.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this self-respect can be difficult to feel into.
Yeah.
And the self-respect is, how do we maintain some sort of, you know, not just self-development, but some sort of natural confidence and sort of glow, you know what I mean? And we have to just, and sometimes it can be really difficult for people to just say, I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. It's going to be a healthy no. We're not very good at saying no. Mm. Do Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, so we just say yes to everything because it's the fear of missing out, or it's the fear of being judged by somebody else if you do say no. And it's only because we're not very good at learning how to communicate with others. Yeah, yeah. So you might say, oh, you know, are you free? Or can you do this? Say, I can, but not right now. Do you know what I mean? Or I'm glad you've asked, but I can't help you there because I'm in my own flow. But I'd love to help you. But can we schedule in where it works for the both of us? Bang, straight away. You're in a win-win culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, that's practice. But again, there's this practice of maintenance. And it really, like, so many people wait to be on the floor, totally stressed, totally in a place of desperation and despair. And then they go, I need a holiday or I need a retreat. And it's like, hang on a minute. Every day can be a holiday.
So true.
If you manage your time better, it's a big thing I do when I'm helping coach people. It's like, I actually help people to manage time.
Yeah.
And when they, you know, from 17, 18 hours a day, what are you doing with this time? Do you know what I mean? Where in that 17, 18 hours a day of your waking moments have you got a bit of me time?
Yes.
Whatever that me time is, you know what I mean? What lights you up? What brings you joy? You know what I mean? Whatever that is. And you go, that's my time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you know what it is though? I said this to someone. Well, say it. Are you putting out fires? Are you putting out fires or are you getting what you want to get done that day?
Yeah.
Because so many people who work in roles, like talking with, you know, business owners or clients or whatnot, and they deal with other people.
Yeah.
Then they're actually doing what they want to do. They're just putting out fires all day. Yeah. They're just like, dab that out, dab that. And then when it comes to shit, I've done nothing this day now. And then they get worked up.
Well, they get angry.
Yeah.
They become polarized and reactive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, and we become snappy then. Because the mood, you know, there's this inner anger. Do you know what I mean? And then we project that anger onto the world, onto the people around us, the people who love us the most. Do you know what I mean? So there's this like mood, and that mood just turns into a temperament, and we have to capture ourselves in that mood and say, well, hang on a minute, I'm moody. What can I and can I honour this, my own needs?
Yeah.
And when we begin to honour our own needs and, you know, get these healthy boundaries in place and then create some daily habits that brings about some connection, like, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, but it's also connected to self-worth. Mm. Self-maintenance is self-worth. You know, and it's like every day we brush our teeth. We don't even think about it. It just happens somewhere in the morning we brush our teeth. We're maintaining our oral hygiene. But what are we doing to maintain some sort of natural connection?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What are we doing to upgrade our life, to elevate our mood? And when we do that, when we manage time, create space for me, what happens is, self-worth goes up.
Yes.
We're so depreciated. We're on the floor. Self-worth goes up a little bit. And you do it again, boom, it goes up again. And all of a sudden you feel worthy. Mm. You know what I mean? There's a worthiness. You appreciate. You know, and you're maximized now. You know what I mean? And when you do that, when you're more maximized, chances are you're more neutralized.
So true.
You know what I mean? Because when you're minimized, you're polarized. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So you know, you're up the wall. And then when we're polarized, the world loves people who are polarized. You know what I mean? Because you'll reach them for instant gratification.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're prone to more addiction, whatever that is, you know what I mean? Because it's the fake love.
Yes,
it's the instant, I need that. You know what I mean? So, you know, the work is when you take a look at the culture you're in.
Yeah.
What life are you living? What fires are you putting out? Mm. Where's your own self-care? Build that, you know, in a landscape of natural confidence. Mm. Just manage some time. You know what I mean? Start small though.
Yeah, start small.
Yeah. People go fucking crazy too
straight
quick.
To the thing.
Yeah, all or nothing. Like that's it, fucking, and they try and do a 360 on the life. It's like, nah. You know, if you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, don't sign it up at 5 and fucking go crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Just get up at 7:30.
Yeah.
Just get up half an hour early. Small steps, man. And these small steps become the compound over a period of time.
That's the thing, right? It's thing you're saying this to, man, is because like they compound over time, but it's like even like little things. What time do you go to bed at night? Go half an hour earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Or put cut your phone off for a certain time.
It's an evening routine for me is even more important than a morning routine.
Yeah.
And I've come to work that out over a period of time. I'm going through a process at the minute where I'm invested in my sleep.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? In my sleep. And because I'm so invested in it, I'm tweaking a few, you know, I'm just tightening the screws.
Yes.
And what that looks like for me is like, you know, that last hour of the day, I'm off the phone.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm getting off the screens. you know, I've been on the screens all day, do you know what I mean, in one way or another. So, like, 100%. I'm getting off the screen, I'm setting that boundary. You know, I'm not under the covers like that, a few more minutes on Instagram. Like, I'm just like, right, I'm off that screen now. And you know, I play some nice music. Nice. And then I've got a sauna in the house, so sometimes I'll have a sauna in the garden or a cold tub or sometimes a hot bath. You know, get that magnesium in the bath, you know what I mean? I'll take a couple of melatonin, you know, gummies.
They knock you out.
Yeah, they knock you out, do you know what I mean? And I'm just telling the body, all right, you're prepared to go to bed now. Yeah. Let's focus on a dreamless rest. Let's focus on some good sleep. And, you know, I tend to get in bed between 10 and 11, you know what I mean? From 9, half 9,
phones off,
no screens, just like disconnected. I'm offline now.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then like there's just this natural, and then literally, you know, I'm when I'm getting into bed, the body's just like, it's settled. You know, the nervous system's not rattling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not in the head. I'm not like, you know, up here.
Yeah.
You know, I've like, right, I've sorted everything. There's nothing else I can do. I'm prepared for a good night's sleep. And then after a good night's sleep, I'm naturally getting up. I say it's at the minute, like this, because it's lighter now.
How good is this?
It's lighter, man.
I haven't seen this in 8. Look, I'm up at like
6 a.m. now.
The later nights, because it's obviously light till late. Yeah. That's the thing that's puzzling me, because I'm like, oh, it's only early, and next thing you know, it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock. You're like, what the heck?
What's going on here?
And then you wake it up, and it's
light.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a few just small little things. They just work well for me. Do you know what I mean? Even like fresh air. I just leave the window open a little bit and just get that fresh air coming through. Do you know what I mean? But I get the room as dark as I can.
Yeah.
And then I'm good to go, and I'm sleeping great at the minute. Nice. And then I'm up in the morning, and I just have a nice morning routine. That first hour is mine.
Yeah.
I don't really hit the socials, you know what I mean? I check the phone if there's any, you know, important messages. Yeah,
of course.
Otherwise, it's like, right, that gets left. I'm downstairs. I'll have a shower. You know what I mean? I just have a shower. Most of the time it's cold.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm downstairs. I'll do some meditation and breath work. Sometimes a bit of movement, a bit of shaking.
Nice.
You know, I'll get my feet on the earth, go in the garden.
Yeah.
I'm just connecting. Do you know what I mean? First drink's always, you know, hydration.
Nice.
So it's like herbal tea, yerba mate, whatever. And then after about an hour, you know, I've probably filled the dishwasher or emptied the dishwasher. And I like to hoover up as well. It's like I've got this thing about, you know, nice carpet, nice lines in the carpet, you know.
Love that.
And then like I'm out the door then with the dog, you know what I mean? I've got a dog, so you know, I'm out the door. And then I'm in the park then, you know, like I'm in Sefton Park in Liverpool, and I'm connecting to nature, and I'm totally relaxed. I'm getting my steps in, I'm having loads of fun. I have a coffee then. You know what I mean? Like an hour and a half, that's my first coffee.
Yeah.
I might have a couple of coffees a day, but like that's boom.
That's your one.
That's me coffee. I'm with the dog, he's doing his thing, I'm doing mine, I'm connecting on socials,
yeah, yeah.
I'm now online with the world.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm on. I'm ready to meet an audience. I'm after it.
I love it.
And then within that, you know, I'm taking my daughter to school, and you know, and I'm catching, and I like connecting with people. So you know, I'll say a couple of friends, let's meet up, let's get in the park.
Yeah, yeah.
Or sometimes if anyone who's struggling, do you know what I mean? I just say, listen, I'm going to be in the park. Come and have an hour with me. We'll have a walk, and you know,
mate.
just check in.
Love that.
I love that. So then that like first couple of hours, it's pure self care.
Yeah.
And then I'm off the gym then. You know, the dogs are this piece. I'm still in the me time.
Yeah.
I'm into hour three and I'm on the me time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in the gym. I'm with my pal. You know, we're having a great workout. I'm getting the blood pumping.
Yeah.
You know, I'm vibing. And then, you know, we're in the sauna. You know, man time. The me time, but now it's man time. It's bro time, you know?
Yes.
And then, you know, I tend to go for breakfast most days, you know, because I'm worth it. I'm like, okay, we're going for breakfast. Yeah, let's go in for good breakfast. So I'm eating, I'm hearty, getting that first meal in like 11 o'clock, half 11. And then, you know, I'm well into the day then, you know, whatever that looks like. If I've got some one-to-one clients,
yeah.
You know, I have to I'm maybe check in with my admin, or I'm in with my marketing guru. And, you know, or I'm speaking to the guys about memory out masks, and, you know, we're always planning and always keeping checking in.
Class.
And then I'm in then. And I teach meditation, you know, 3 nights a week, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays. And yeah, I'm just in flow, man.
Love that.
You know what I mean? I'm on purpose. When people say, "How are you getting on?" I say, I'm in flow. I'm in a flow, and I feel like I'm on purpose. You know what I mean?
But like, how much of that day already you've just given to you?
That's it.
But like you said, it's a starting small, and then
starting small.
But then you've created this life.
Yeah.
But I love that, because it's I don't know how much older you are than me, man, but it's like, this the version, this is what people want, X, Y, and Z, but it's like, my routine is very similar to yours in the morning, like, get up early,
yeah,
you know, go get some fresh air, because there's a petrol station down the corner, so I'll always go walk to him.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing about this, so the petrol station, I noticed, no one says, all right, mate, what's happening, blah, blah, blah. So, next thing, found out the guy's name, he's Indian.
Yeah.
Every morning I go, what are you grateful for, boss?
Yeah, what's happening, brother?
So I said, what are you grateful for? And I don't leave him until he says it.
Brilliant.
First time he met me, mate, he was like, what are you on about?
Yeah.
And then,
but now he's like,
he knows he's coming.
But we can make you know what, Ollie, like, we can make an impression on other people's lives. Yeah. That's what gets me up out of a bed as well, you know what I mean? Like, you can cause an effect.
Yes.
In others, do you know what I mean? And it's just these little snippets of connection, you know what I mean? Whether it's like with a stranger in the petrol station, do you know what I mean? Or, you know, whether you're with a client or you're with a friend around a park, like, you know, presence and connectedness and, you know, it's precious, it's sacred. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You know, I'd like to think that, you know, if I did, whenever we go, we don't know when we're going to go. Whenever I pass, like, people are like, yeah, you know what? He made an impression on my life, you know what I mean? Yeah. Full of energy. That's you know, just add a vibe, but the energy is not, it's not fake energy.
No.
It's just natural enthusiasm.
100%.
You know what I mean? I'm in for it.
I love that. And that, yeah. But there's the thing, it's the key, the curiosity, and just stop thinking about ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
Be curious about them. What's going on? What's news? Yeah. Have you got a partner? Have you got this? You got that? And like, I found out from this guy now, his missus is about to drop, so she's gone to India to be with the family.
Beautiful.
You know, just where does he live?
Yeah.
You know, just little things.
Just asking questions. Yeah. When we ask open-ended questions to others, how are you getting on? What's alive for you? What are you grateful for? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're getting people to contemplate and awaken and ponder. You know what I mean? And that then is, it becomes magic for people.
Because
you're helping them to turn the gaze back on themselves and then feel into what's alive for them. You know what I mean? And then you're giving them a container to express it.
So true.
And it's like, wow, you know, it's a big part of how we connect with others. Yeah. I've learned how to use these tactics and techniques to connect.
Yeah.
Ask questions.
Yes.
Ask open-ended questions. Show interest. Do you know what I mean?
True.
You know, and then it builds rapport then. You know, you build this like, we feel there's an us feeling.
Yeah.
We're in this together now, you know what I mean? And that, oh, that's just the magic of life.
But that's half of my job I found now, is just asking open-ended questions. But caring, showing empathy, showing gratitude, and showing that you, because by the end of, like you talked about with Molly, you're like, she was a client, but now she's a friend.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, this is the big part in coaching. You're just asking the right questions.
Yeah.
And you're just finding where someone's at. Do you know what I mean? You're finding out where are you at here. You know what I mean? And what needs some attention.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, it's with your partner. You're struggling. It's in work with your boss. You know what I mean? It's with yourself.
Yeah.
And you're just seeing where people are at. And then you can get focused.
Yeah, yeah.
And say, okay, let's use some tactics here. I mean, I use just a lot of universal principles to really just help, you know, you're finding out where they're at and you're able to tailor, you know, a culture for them to upgrade.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just, the tactics work across the board.
Yeah, man.
Do you know what I mean? And so there's these practicalities that you can bring to the table.
Yeah.
And no matter who you are and what label you've got and where you're at in your life.
Yeah.
These methods work.
100%. Let's talk about another part, though.
Yeah, let's get in there. I know. Yeah, we could keep going all day. So
I know. I'm like, because I can talk all day, and I know you can, man. But I love it, boss. But do you want to talk about Peru?
Let's do it. Yeah, yeah.
Let's go, brother.
Okay.
Let's,
so
let's break it in the intro to it, though.
So I'm a facilitator on a wonderful organization called Men Without Masks, and it's initially a 5-day retreat, and it's based around like the four archetypes. You know, the king, the warrior, the magician, and the lover. And the market types become a map for us to really understand our behaviour, you know. And it comes from Jungian psychology as well. So, you know, there's a lot of credibility to these maps. And we've been doing that. And when I say we, me, a guy called Craig White, who's the main facilitator, the founder of Men Without Masks, and the team, which is myself, a breathwork psychotherapist called Matt Gunn, another breathwork practitioner, and a marketing specialist named Johnny Hunter, and a guy called Dave Orcott, who is just tried and tested in life, like a nature guy, He's also, you know, got incredible unique gifts that he brings to the retreat. And so we've got this bond, the five of us. There's some extended, you know, team members, but that is the core, you know, of our group. And we all bring, you know, different unique elements to the retreat. And so, you know, we hold this 5-day immersion in an incredible place in Skipton called Broughton Hall. And it's connected to 1,000 years of history within a family called the Tempest family. And what they've done is they've actually, it's now called Broughton Hall Sanctuary. And they're just all about transformation and connection. And so we've got a wonderful relationship with them. And we run like 3 or 4 retreats a year, you know, in Broughton Hall, this 5-day immersion. And we take 22 men on a journey over 5 days. And there's a lot of embodiment practices, meditation, you know, nature, breath work, you know, and understanding, education. And just a container for men to just return to themselves, be vulnerable. You know, we do a lot. And it's carefully, you know, it's very carefully put together. It's saturated with amazing, amazing experiences that give guys an opportunity to release, to open up, to get back in the body and to understand how they behave. And also that community, that man time, you know, and to feel safe with other men. You know, we don't feel safe with other men, you know, we you know, a lot of time we're competing and comparing. And so that, you know, coming back into that journey of manhood, and getting that initiation is potent. And so how this is crystallized, we you know, we have now a King retreat, and that King retreat is in Peru. So it's a 10-day journey, and we spend 5 days really focusing on, you know, the aspects and the qualities of the energy of King, you know, which is about self-governance, which is about sovereignty. You know, it's about maturity and fathering, you know. We put an incredible retreat together. We found this retreat centre about an hour away from Pisac, and it's in the mountains. Is it Sacred Valley? Or I can't remember off the top of my head. And it's run by this beautiful family, Peruvian family. And how they put this retreat centre together is incredible. 5-star. Right in the mountains, the food is organic. It's grown on the land, and so we had this 5-day immersion, and it was just like, wow. Peru itself, the culture, the people, especially like in Pisac and Cusco, they just seem to work for each other.
Yeah,
they just have this connection to, you know, Pachamama, which is nature.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They also have this, like, there's a lot of like Christians out there, so they have this like internal faith to you know, to Jesus, but they have like this external sort of connection to the earth. And it's like a incredible blend. Like, I felt held, I felt, you know, connected, I was nourished deeply by Peru, and by, you know, the very vibration there. So it was 5 days in this retreat center, you know, all masses related to, you know, going deep, getting in there. You know, facilitated by 5 facilitators. And then after that, we did a pilgrimage to Machu Picchu. You know, we did the classic Inca Trail. It was 45 kilometers in 4 days. So, like, that alone is a journey in itself. But we'd really built this container for the first 5 days. And then there was 4 days, you know, like, offline in the mountains. There was, there was 5 facilitators, 19 guys, 20, you know, and the 24 of us. Then we had 4 guides, 20 Sherpas. It was like 50 men, know what I mean? It was a force.
Class.
And it was like 10, 11 kilometers each day. And it was deeply transformational, incredibly challenging. We didn't know when we were booking it, but it actually fell on Easter weekend.
Oh, wow.
So like Good Friday, you know, we had this, it was our second day into, you know, this adventure. And, it was one of the most difficult, you know, walks I've ever done in my life, but the most liberating.
Wow.
And we got to this place called Dead Woman's Pass. It was 4,200 meters above sea level. And, it just, the mountain just strips away your bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, wow. And so much like revelation and rawness, and it was organic. And, bonding, you know, bonding with men, bonding with nature. Like that trail alone is special.
Wow.
You know, very special. And yeah, I have to give thanks to the, you know, to the guides. They took us on, you know, an incredible track, wow, kept us safe, you know, and it's very professional as well. You know, you get to the campsites all set up, you know what I mean? You know, so we were just like, get there, we were getting fed, you know, and it was just a trip like beyond epic. And I don't use the word epic, you know what I mean? And it was just beyond epic.
Yeah.
And, you know, day three, you know, more walking. And then day four, you know, we got up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And just before I talk about that last day, like, you know, you're above the clouds. Do you know what I mean? You know, like, there's, you're on the edge of the planet. Mm. It was just, there was just this, like, vast expansion. Do you know what I mean? And it was a mirror. It was just a reflection of like what's inside of us, you know what I mean? And this opportunity and capability that we've got as men, as humans, you know? And then day four, we got up at 2 o'clock in the morning and we spent seven, 8 hours trekking down into Machu Picchu in the dark. Wow. It was just like, you know, we had our head torches on, we just felt like soldiers, you know what I mean? Just, you know, all in rank, all together, all holding each other accountable, all holding each other in compassion and love. And then, you know, we got to Machu Picchu, like, day four, and and we'd already, you know, visited a couple of sacred sites on the way through, and you're just bewildered, you know what I mean, enchanted, like, just, like, it was incredible.
Wow.
And then, yeah, Machu Picchu, and then we went round the ruins, and that was, like, day four, and it was just, I left things on the mountain, that, like, you know, part of me that, you know, needed to come to the surface.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of forgiveness and a lot of openness, a lot of tears.
Yeah.
You know, and it was raw and it was organic. But it was a once in a lifetime experience, you know. And then, you know, we integrated that experience. We had a couple of days in Cusco.
Yeah.
I was away inevitably for about 18 days in total, me and the team. And yeah, it was like, it was just an incredible trip. I feel really fortunate because I get to express my gifts, I get to connect with men, but I also get to travel and I get paid in the process. I'm just like, it's win-win-win, you know? And so Peru has become now a yearly thing, you know? So we take 20 men every year and we take them to Peru. And it is a trip of a lifetime. So our next journey is the 7th of April next year. That's and it's already been booked in, and all roads lead to Peru. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You come in today though with a different energy, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't put a finger on
there's
it.
There's a depth, you know. I feel even more like grounded and settled in myself. Yeah. You know what I mean? Peru, was initiating, you know. And for me, it takes time to become a man. And it takes experience, and you know, it takes many failures.
Yeah.
And we have to actualize, you know, fatherhood and not necessarily fathering a child, but fathering the world.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think Peru gave me that opportunity to deepen and to blossom. And just getting better.
Amazing.
You know, I was 39 last week, and
happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
I sent you a message.
May the 15th, yeah. Thank you, brother. And just feel, I feel like a man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I feel my internal landscape also feels like there's a maturity there. Yeah. You know, men unfortunately don't get this rites of passage in our culture, in the Western culture. You know, they get an unhealthy rite of passage.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the many men who look like men, but they're still navigating from the psyche of a boy. You know what I mean? And that immaturity and that fear of being vulnerable.
So true, man.
You know, and what we do on retreat, we bring men together, we create cohesion, and that flow state, that coherence builds safety, and then we open up. You know, we almost just each and every day we just stretch, we just stretch these men. You know, we stretch them beyond that stoic rigidity.
Yeah.
You know, the fear, the competitiveness. And we go on so many, many wonderful experiential processes that just allow men to come home, to retain, you know.
Lovely.
And so Peru's just been a sort of byproduct of the Men Without Masks.
Yeah.
It's an expansion for our work. And I'm just totally, like, in awe of how Men Without Masks is now weaving its way into the into the collective, you know, with a lot of people paying attention. And, you know, I think not just self-care is important nowadays, but and mental health, but men's work, you know what I mean? And I think even a year ago, a couple of years ago, people were like, wow, men's work, what the fuck's all this? But now people are truly investing.
Yeah.
And we get all different men from all walks of life, do you know what I mean? It's not just men struggling. You know, we get high achievers, you know, we get people who are just looking to expand and develop, you know, and we just create this container. And I'm so grateful for Men Without Masks. It's almost a heartbeat of everything else that we do as facilitators individually.
But
when we come together and we hold this space, it's like, wow. Best part of my job is witnessing.
Yeah.
Is seeing it in front of my eyes, men drop into themselves and relax again. It's just like, it's a dream come true.
I love that, mate. I love everything what you're about, man. I'm knowing that from day dot. But you sharing your stories, sharing what you're doing now. And it's like, how do I say it? It's like every year you get older, it's like you're scratching deeper, but you're bringing more gems to the surface.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I want to just say before we wrap up, what are you grateful for? I always ask my guests.
Grateful for life itself. I'm grateful for being here, you know, given the opportunity to express spirit. I think I'm grateful for my family, you know, more than anything. And I probably wouldn't have said that even 12 months ago, you know. I think the more I matured into myself, and I'm truly grateful for the people around me and the people who love me, the people who celebrate me. You know, I'm grateful for them. I appreciate them deeply. You know, my mother, my father, my brother, my missus and my child. That's me to container, you know. It hits me, and it brings me to joy and tears and openness, and I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful for these people who love me unconditionally, these people who ride for me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they're the ones who celebrate me the most. I just think just being alive is enough for me, and I'm truly grateful for that, and I just trust that I can express that each and every day and make a difference in the world.
Love that, brother. Love that. Thank you so much for jumping
Thank
on,
you
man.
So much for asking, yeah.
Take care, brother.
Man. All the best. Yeah, brother. Just talk it, walk it. Yeah, man, I enjoyed that. Just talk it, walk it. We were in flow, weren't we?